Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
President and CEO of Blue Chip Strategies, Georgia Gang panelist Bobby Capel joins us here on The Morning Extra. Good morning, Bobby. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Mad respect to you guys for having this much energy at this hour, even though it's not that early anymore.
Most of my day starts before 5 a.m. anyway, so especially when you have kids, you should know that by now. Go ahead.
As a former morning anchor, I pledged when I got off the anchor desk at one point never to do mornings again. Yet here I am. So there you go.
Well, listen, it's just morning for you. It was early morning for us about 3 hours ago. So we appreciate you getting up with us. Let's stay with this Atlanta mayoral race here as we were just going back and forth. Kasim Reed, clearly the front runner. His fundraising is well above everybody else. That said, does this make it a fait accompli that he's going to win this thing in 3 months?
No, I think he is certainly a front runner to make it to the runoff. Our system here in Georgia is that unless you're getting 50% plus one, you're going to a runoff and you have this many candidates. It's very, very likely, if not a sure thing at this point, that you're going to see nobody reaching that 50% plus one margin. And therefore, it's going to be a top two. So the top two people in that first round of voting go to a runoff. And then when you go to a runoff, it's typically a much smaller pool of voters that come out for that second round, and that's when anything can happen. So I do think, given his name ID, given the fact that he was the former mayor of the city of Atlanta, he has the ability, along with his massive fundraising numbers in the first quarter that he's reported over $1 million. I do think he is a favorite to make it to the runoff. The question to me is, who is the second person that gets in with him, and what is the messaging that person is able to get to the forefront in these 4 week runoffs? So one of the changes, as far as I understand it, in the new voter bill that the Republican legislature and Brian Kemp had passed, is it changes the runoff time from 8 weeks, which is what we saw with the January runoffs with Senators Warnock and Ossoff after the November election, down to 4 weeks. And that becomes interesting, and I think gives advantage to whoever can raise the most money quickly, because you don't have the long runway to go get up on television. What people need that money for, candidates, for example, is to buy television ads, buy radio ads, by mail, so that they can send direct mail and get their message communicated to the voters that they want to talk to. And that 4 week stretch means whoever can raise that money the fastest is going to get in the mail first, is going to get on TV first, is going to have the best opportunity to then win that race. So I think it's going to come down to a lot of factors, but I certainly think he is in the pole position to get one of those two spots.
Who's the second favorite here then?
There isn't one at this point. It's a wide open field. You look at some of the fundraising numbers. You look at the demographics. You look at previous elections and what Mary Norwood had done in her two races that she had run. I know she's not going to be in this race. But it shows that people are interested in an alternative as well. So I don't think there's an answer to that. We're going to find out over the course of the next 3 months who can raise the most money and who's able to get that coalesce the vote that perhaps might not be in former Mayor Reed's corner and get it around them to move forward. And I think it's challenging when you have this many people in the race. There is absolutely no way to tell at this point.
He's Bobby Capel, Georgia Gang panelist, president and CEO of Blue Chip Strategies, here on The Morning Extra. Take a look at Brian Kemp. Vernon Jones, the only known challenger to him in the Republican primary at this point. I don't know how realistic of a challenger he is. It is noteworthy that someone is willing to go up and run against him. But where do you put Kemp right now? I feel like he's starting to pick up steam in the right direction over the last couple of weeks. It's a long run up to 2022. I mean, not necessarily, only about a little bit over a year and 3 months. But still, how would you gauge where he is at this point in time and the likelihood that he could win re-election?
Yeah, and just full disclosure here, as a Democratic strategist, my abilities to predict Republican primaries are not exact, and I don't claim to know that voter base very well. But I will just say, as an outsider looking in, it certainly seems like Vernon Jones's candidacy has not gotten the traction that he had hoped he was going to get by having the former president's support. And I think that Governor Kemp is, again, I hate to always point back to the money, but the man raised multiple millions of dollars. If he's going to be in a primary, he's already got name ID. He's got the power of the incumbency behind him in a primary. And I think he's in good shape in a Republican primary. Now, I think it's a totally different story when it comes to a general election. But as far as Vernon Jones goes, I don't see that candidacy taking off.
So with, at least on this show, we've talked about kind of a fracture in the Republican Party or among conservatives. Is it you're with Trump or you're against Trump? Do you see that being a big issue for a guy like Governor Kemp? Or is that kind of just dissipating a little bit because President Trump's not really in the news that much?
Yeah, I think Governor Kemp's not going to want that to be an issue in the primary for obvious reasons. And I think every day that we are removed from the Donald Trump presidency is one day less that people are thinking about him actively. Now, there are people like Marjorie Taylor Greene who are trying to keep it alive, keep the controversy alive. I don't think what happened on January 6th does Republicans in this state that are running for office and are going to put their arms around Trump, that does them any favors whatsoever. I think it's a big problem for them in general elections because the further they have to run to the right in a primary, the more vulnerable they are in a general election. And that's always been the case, but I think it's extra now. I mean, if you look at what this state has done in the last few months, in the last several elections, in November, we elected Joe Biden president of the United States, won the state of Georgia. And then in January, there was nails in the coffin with two senators being elected as Democrats from the state of Georgia when we haven't won statewide elected office here in Georgia on a major level in a long, long time. And I think that is a direct result of Donald Trump and the way in which he handled himself after the election. I don't buy so much the whole stop the steal movement depressed Republican turnout. I think it was more it really pissed off Democrats and independents and some Republicans who even voted for Trump to the point where they said, you know what, we're not giving this guy any more of a free pass and we're not going to go reinforce his messaging.
He is Bobby Capel again joining us here on The Morning Extra. I want to pivot to the district that you ran for, the 6th Congressional District, held by Lucy McBath, won in a, I wouldn't say a margin, a narrow margin in 2018, but it was fairly close, or in 2020, rather. It was much closer in 2018. That seat is up for grabs as they do redistricting. We'll find that out coming up here. How vulnerable of a candidate is she? And I know that there'll be a crowded Republican field going up against her, but how vulnerable is that seat for her going forward?
I think if the district lines, which if they are drawn as they are today, remain similar, that she is in an extremely strong position to be reelected. And, she is really, really a strong fundraiser. And she also has done a good job of being amenable to moderates and some Republicans in this district with her votes. And with how she's conducted herself, you don't see her on TV as a firebrand of the left. This is not a district that would elect that. And she understands the district well, and I think she's done a wonderful job here. As far as throwing all of that out, yeah, you can toss all that out if they redistrict the lines and move 20% more Republican voters into the district. Now, the question is, where is that coming from? You've got two suburban districts here in Metro Atlanta in Georgia's 6th district, which is represented by Lucy McBath, and Georgia's 7th district, which is represented by Carolyn Bordeaux, both Democrats who won in the last election. Where are they going to try and pull votes to redraw those lines more friendly to Republicans is the question I would have. And you're starting to run out of real estate here. These used to be strong Republican districts. Georgia 6 was Newt Gingrich's district back in the day.
Tom Price,
And
too.
Now, sorry?
Tom Price, too.
Yeah, Tom Price, Newt Gingrich. So the point being, you know, are they going to play the short run game here, Republicans, in the redistricting effort and try and go pick up a Metro congressional seat here in Atlanta? Or are they going to play the 10-year game, which is they get they're going to have to live with these lines that are being drawn for 10 years. So if they're going to draw a bunch of Republicans out of another district and try and pack them in to Georgia 6 or Georgia 7, they're going to face consequences in that other district as well, potentially in the long term, especially as the Atlanta exurbs continue to grow.
Again, Bobby Capel joining us. Stacey Abrams hasn't officially announced her candidacy yet. We all assume she's going to be running. I don't think anybody's going to challenge her, right? I would assume from the Democratic side. But if the election were held this week and it's Stacey Abrams again versus Brian Kemp, how does it play out?
I think it'll be close, but I think she is a very, very strong candidate. All she's done since she ran last time is build her profile, build her name ID, and build her war chest. She's got a lot of respect on the Democratic side of the aisle for you know, her work on voting rights. And I think especially when the governor, I think the governor kind of did her a favor, not in reality, but in total politics, by signing what we believe to be a voter suppression bill into law here in Georgia that's gotten the attention of Major League Baseball to the point where they moved the All-Star game. Wow. It leans right into the issue that Stacey Abrams is the strongest on and able to I think, turn out a lot of people on the Democratic side who are not interested in seeing their votes restricted. So I think she would be in a very, very strong position. But again, I don't know that she necessarily wants to do this because she is getting a lot of traction for the work she's doing otherwise. We're all waiting to see. I would expect her to do it, but I don't have any insight on that.
Do you have any idea of when she would make an announcement by, or is there an sort of semi-arbitrary deadline that she has to have it done by?
I mean, I think she could get in on the final day of filing in March, and she'd still blow away anybody else that was even thinking of running in a Democratic primary, which nobody would in their right mind. And I think she would still be able to raise the resources needed to knock off an incumbent governor.
I mean, you talk about SB 202, and still is that going to be the one issue that's going to sway this thing one way or another? Because I personally think, you talk about Brian Kemp doing her a favor. We talked about this. The DOJ did Brian Kemp a favor in the lawsuit that they filed. That's never going to be adjudicated. It's never going to go anywhere. It's political theater. And Brian Kemp gets to stand up and tell everybody now that, look, I'm the only one defending election integrity here in Georgia. I'm the only one fighting for fair and free elections here in Georgia. No one else is doing that. I think the DOJ lawsuit actually helps Brian Kemp more than anything else.
Well, I think it helps him in a primary. I agree with that. I think it's kind of why Vernon Jones just is a non-factor, in my opinion, in a primary against him. But I don't agree that it helps him in a general election. I think talking about that issue for Republicans in a general election to a general election audience is curtains. I think it will result in the exact same thing that happened in January and that happened in November. There is a small percentage of the electorate that is extremely vocal about the so-called election security issues, and they exist within a Republican primary and obviously are a bigger piece of the Republican primary electorate. But in a general election, you're talking about independents. You're talking about a lot of Republicans that live up in this district, which is, you know, North Fulton County, basically, who may have voted for Donald Trump in 2016, but who are educated and who understand that there was no election fraud in this election, at least not on a wide scale that would have swung the election one way or the other, that even the Department of Homeland Security chief under Donald Trump said as much. And that I think that issue, it's obviously it's good fodder for talk radio, but I don't think it wins any votes in a general election. And I think the more he's talking about it, the bigger problem it is for him.
Stop giving away secrets to my employment. Thank you very much, Bobby. We appreciate it. Talk radio is what pays the bills. Bobby Capel, President and CEO of Blue Chip Strategies, Georgia Gang Panelists. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Bobby. We appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Have a good morning. Thanks.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.